You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Third and final hour now upon us. You know, sometimes you just feel like you're in the zone. And I think tonight we're delivering another typical political cesspool performance. Yeah, it's another live night of radio here in Memphis, Tennessee. And I'm happy to be here with you. Joining me now for the third hour, I guess you picked up that Eddie the Bombardier Miller is here. And he is the star of tonight's show, the main event. Is this video, this short video that we took at his, well, not his house, but a house a few doors down from his. And in this video, you will see, if you haven't watched it already at thepoliticalcesspool.org, you will see Eddie talking about how third world immigration has caused his neighborhood to decline. Now, we could have gone over the top and driven a few miles down the road to the Berkclair area of Memphis, and this neighborhood was the neighborhood that my grandparents grew up in. My maternal grandparents lived on Westover Avenue in the Berkclair neighborhood, and when they did, it was 100% white, 100% clean. It looked like, you know, you think about this in the 50s, these small houses with you know, three bedrooms, one bath, you know, a bedroom for the parents and then the son and the daughter. And that was exactly what my mom's family was. God, you know, my grandfather was a deacon at church. My grandmother worked in the church, raised Christian. Just, it was iconic 1950s style living out there. And it was everything you would imagine the 50s to be. That's how my mother was raised, and that's what that neighborhood looked like. It was Ozzie and Harriet. I can't think of a better way to explain it than it was the way Ozzie and Harriet are portrayed life to have been in that television series. That's the way it was for my mom and her brother. Growing up in that neighborhood. That neighborhood now has been colonized. I think that is the perfect and truest adjective you can use. When you go in that neighborhood now, it has absolutely been colonized. You will think you are in Mexico. All of the businesses have their signs in Spanish. Everyone on the streets is Mexican or some third world variation thereof. And it looks even worse than this video that we have on Eddie's, from Eddie's neighborhood that we put up on the website. We could have gone to that neighborhood and given you a shot of some homes that are absolute caricatures. In real life, what you think would be a caricature, an over-the-top caricature, we could have given you the real deal. But for this video, we wanted to not go to the absolute worst homes that have suffered from third world immigration in Memphis to prove our point. We wanted to keep it real and personal. This video is Eddie's actual neighborhood, and it shows how the property looked after the city of Memphis had sent a couple of cleanup crews. We're going to give you the rest of the story tonight, but first we want to play this video, and then I'm going to turn Eddie the Bombardier Miller loose. Let's play this video, and then he's going to break it down and fill in all the blanks.
Good afternoon, people. This is Eddie the Bombardier Miller here. You probably recognize me, know me from the Political Cesspool. I'm out here with James Edwards this morning. Now, what we're going to do, we've got a little project going on right here. First, before I say much more, I want you to look at all this trash. Just trash, every conceivable kind of trash. Oil cans, transmission fluid cans, old feminine hygiene products. Look, I noticed this room, there's been a lot of Corona beer come through. Look at this case of Corona beer has been here. Look, the old used tires that the city of Memphis will not haul off. It will, whoever hauls these tires off, they're going to charge them a fee, a disposal fee for old tires. Look at this house. It's just a complete wreck. And people, believe it or not, the house really looks good. People come along and hauled off about two-thirds of these tires. The reason I know so much about this area right here is because this is my neighborhood. I've been here since Halloween Day of 1980. Moved in here as a young guy, 32 years old, like everybody else in this neighborhood. This neighborhood was it's brand new when I moved in. They were entry-level houses for couples just getting married, just raising kids. And a lot of people left when they were young, but a lot of people like me are trapped here now. And look at the condition of the house there. It's just torn to shreds. We tried to look inside. It looked like shells maybe from, I don't know, had some kind of parts they're selling out here. But, you know, cars would come in here all hours of the day and night. They would come in the day, and the cars would be, changed. They would take parts off of them and haul them back away. I don't know what they were doing. Cars coming in at night, picking up packages and things like that. I don't know what they were doing there, but I wouldn't want to be in the middle of them. And the point I like to make, people, this used to be, you see what it looks like now. Even after it's cleaned up, it's a trash box. It's just a heap of trash. Now, when I moved in here, all the houses were very neat. People took pride in their houses. They took pride in their yards. The yards were well kept. The houses were maintained. We had wonderful kids. It was just an ocean of kids in here. People moved in to raise their kids. There was peace and quiet. You never saw a police car. You never heard loud music. You never heard gunshots. That's not the way it is now. It's totally opposite. Now, me and James Edwards are going to cover this entire story Saturday night. You'll sure need to be paying attention, because this is right here. This is a microcosm of what you're going to see in a neighborhood coming to you very soon, if it's not already there. We're just an unregulated, completely out of control, mass migration of all kinds of non-white people coming to this country.
All right, let's go ahead and cut that video right there. You can watch. You can watch the rest of it, folks, and I would encourage you to do so at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I want to finish setting the stage for Eddie, and then I'm going to turn him loose without any interruption for the rest of the hour. But you see these tires, all of these tires. You see this rotting garbage just all over the street and on the curb, broken beer bottles, glass beer bottles, and so much more. A lot of this had been pushed to the curb by the time the city of Memphis had come out a couple of times at taxpayer expense to clean this stuff up. It had been strewn out all over the lawn, where they were obviously running illegal businesses from, and the windows broken out of this house. This is what multiculturalism, third world multiculturalism, looks like. A lot of emails and notes have come in for Eddie on this. God bless you, Eddie, for telling the truth, keeping this show on the air. I never miss an episode. We love you, Michigan. Another person writes, keep up the fight. Bruno says, Eddie deserves credit. His repertoire speaks volumes. He's brave to do this without a nom de guerre. It's more than apparent that he's a connoisseur of truth. Hats off to him for ambulating around his once majority neighborhood. And that's what I thought we got from the video. It obviously wasn't professionally produced. That's not who we are. You know, we are educated people. We are honest people. We are truth-telling people, but we're not pretentious. And you heard the birds chirping there, and it added a little bit of – I actually like that. Yeah, if we could have afforded sound effects, I might have put that in, but that was actually legit. But, Eddie, I'll just let you begin to fill in the blanks there. I think a picture's worth 1,000 words. And, again, folks, it looks very good compared to what it did earlier in the week and for the many weeks and months prior to that, as Eddie had to live with this going on in his neighborhood. And you got sort of a cleanup version. As horrible as it looks, this is better than what it was. But this is what it looks like. And I think the point we were trying to make in this is that this is one house, one street, one neighborhood. This is what the entire country will look like if we allow this game to reach its last full measure. And Eddie, with that, well, there's the music. And when we come back, I'm tossing it over to Eddie, and he's taking it for the rest of the way, folks. He's going to give you the entire story of what was going on in his neighborhood and what he did to stop it. One man can make a difference, and Eddie did it. These people are no longer there, and it was all done by the book, totally legally and lawfully. He's going to give you his testimony. Stay tuned.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Well, welcome back, everybody. As promised, I'm turning the mic now over to Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who is not only the star of this hour, but the star of our most recent YouTube video clip, and we should do more of these because they always get a good response. But Eddie had third world immigration, illegal immigration, begin to set up camp in his neighborhood, and he did something about it by petitioning the city, and it took a lot of persistence, but finally, Law and Order and Eddie the Bombardier Miller won the day. That video that we have gives you some of the details about it, some of the clues, but Eddie's going to fill you in with the rest of the story. So, Eddie, I would ask you to go back to the very beginning of when this gang moved in and your experience with them and how it came to a conclusion just a few days ago.
I most certainly will. Actually, with this video, what we're trying to present us on this video is kind of not the accumulation of an episode, but kind of it's been an ongoing struggle, an ongoing battle to salvage my neighborhood, which is probably about 400 acres, about 3/4 of a square mile in there. Like James said, what we didn't say on the beginning of the radio. Oh, probably some 7 years ago when we started getting these Mexicans starting to move in and with some blacks, I had a run-in with a lot of thugs there. In my, I live in a cove. It used to, like James said, it was a wonderful place to live. It was the same type of neighborhood that James describes his grandparents live in an area probably as the crow flies 6 miles from my house. And incidentally, James and I were probably going to do a YouTube down there video the next week or two, and we'll show you some. We'll be in danger when we go there. I won't lie to you. I'm not trying to exaggerate the danger, you know, because there is real danger. But we're going to go, and we're going to show you the real Sure Enough Hood. Well, about this, when this first started, these thugs in my cove, a lot of young thugs, they're gone now. They would get out in the streets and taunt people when they were coming down the street. You know, if you were white, especially if you were older like I am, they would jump out in front of your car. They would try to, you know, they would throw basketballs in front of you out in the street, and I would, you know, run over them. And they would just, you know, dare you to come down your street. I remember one particular incident when this battle really started. It was kind of like me against the Hispanic community around there and the blacks. We had this white fellow living next door to me, and he was you know, a race mixer, and he would get all these Mexicans in the cove, and they would set up a basketball goal in right in the middle of the street. I'm telling you what started this battle. And I got tired of that. So I called the police one day and said, look, they're violating these teenage thugs, and some of them up in their early 20s are violating the city ordinance. We're not supposed to have a basketball goal out in the street, you know, where people can't get down, you know, people, motorists can't get down to their homes. Well, within about 45 minutes to an hour, two policemen came and knocked on my door. One of them was a Mexican that could barely speak English. He was speaking broken English, and he wanted to know what the complaint was, and I told him. And he wanted to know why I objected to these children being out in the cove. Well, I pointed out to him, you know, they're not really children. You know, some of them are in their early 20s. And I said, you know, why am I doing that? Because, for one thing, it's against the law. They're violating the city ordinance. I said, you can't have a basketball goal in the street. You can't, believe it or not, we can't put a swimming pool in the street. Now, if you prefer, maybe I could just drive through the yards to get to my house. Well, should I, you know, should I just drive through the yards and abandon the street to your paisan, to your brethren, you know? And it got really hot. It really got hot that day. I won't tell you everything I told the Mexican brother, but I told him, I said, look, I don't know how it is in Mexico, where you're from, but I'm going to tell you how it is in America. We have these things called ordinances. Can you pronounce that? It's called an ordinance. And we can't put outhouses in the street. Like I said, we can't put tennis courts. We have to drive down the streets. And I said, besides, people come up down the street 40, 50, 60 miles an hour, somebody's going to get run over. He said, oh, so that's why you're so concerned. You're concerned about the children. I said, well, if you want to know the truth, there's no way on earth I could care any less about those children than I do now. But I don't want to have to be down in court for a week or two filling out paper, going through red tape because I run over one of the little infidels. All right. Well, fast forward there. We finally got rid of them. I finally threatened. I told him, if he didn't do it, I asked him flat out. Anytime you're a supervisor on the job and somebody don't want to do their job, you ask them flat out. You ask them, are you refusing to do your job? If they say they are, they're refusing to do their job, they're fired. I've had to do that before. Well, when I threatened to go to the mayor, he acquiesced, and he went and told the little thugs they're going to have to get their basketball goal out of the street. Well, fast forward that to right now. We had another Mexican couple. I never saw, you know, a woman. Another bunch of Mexicans move into the cove about five houses down from me. And for weeks on end, months, been over a year, it's been getting progressively worse. There'd be more and more cars in the cove. There'd be 20, 30 cars in the yard and in the streets at one time. They would have cars up on blocks taking tires off. You see, I would say they were running a chop shop, but I'm not going to say that. It looked like they were doing that. They were, you know, disassembling cars, taking parts out of cars. They would have wreckers bringing cars in all hours of the day and night. Also, you would see cars coming in all hours of the day and night, pulling up at the edge up in their driveway when they could get in there. They would honk the horns. Other Mexicans would come out of the house delivering packages, I'll say, and the people would leave. Well, here's what it started. I'd call the city and call the city and call the city. One thing I found out over the period of years, people, government workers, that there's no bounds to their laziness, and they don't care. And most of the government workers, I know you're going to be shocked, they're either black or they're Mexican or they're from some other foreign country that's, you know, a non-European country, and they don't care. And anytime they have to do anything against people like in my cove, well, you know, they're having to work against their brothers, you know, taking a side against their brothers in defense of the white honkies. That's how that works. So, and the reason I'm telling you this, how hard it was for me to get them out of there, is to encourage you. It got worse and worse and worse. I would call the city would come out, and they would tell me they could find no evidence of business. They could find no trash. They could find no, we have an ordinance in the city. I think you're not supposed to have over three cars in your driveway at any one time, three or four. None of them are supposed to be in the grass. They're supposed to be on concrete. And there would be 20 cars out there. So I finally, really, that's true. So I finally had to go to the mayor. And listen, that's not the only reason. You see, when I would come down the street, these grown Mexicans, people from Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, Brazil, South Americans, whatever they were, they would look at me and stare at me, and they would open their doors intentionally to make it hard for me to get down to my house. That just got really old. And I just told the governor, you know, the mayor's office, I didn't want to get into trouble because I could see it coming. Because, you know, James can tell you I've got a temper, and I do have a line from which I will not be pushed back beyond. And if I had to, I was going to take things in my own hands. You know, if the government would not protect my rights. And see, when they come in, people, some people who would be, you might call them liberals, they would say, why should I even be concerned about this stuff, you know? Why should we be concerned about this kind of stuff with mass immigration, migration? Well, I'll tell you, this is a prime example of what they did to my cove. I'd like to tell these people, would you like to live in a neighborhood that used to be pristine? It was safe. You could go out walking at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. I used to do it all the time. Your wife, your kids can go out. But now it's gone from that to where I don't even dare go out without my 45. And even then, you know, I don't feel that safe. I have to drive in and out of there. And you see, that's like James said, like we said on the video, that is a microcosm. It's happening everywhere. Me and James can go many places in Memphis that are worse than that. Well, looks like we're coming up to a break. We're going to get back to this and get into the meat of this immigration stuff, y'all. We'll see you right back in just a minute.
Listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Bye.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Eddie Miller telling you in a little greater detail that which time wouldn't permit us to include in a YouTube video, and it takes like an hour to upload one of those things with my slow snail-like connection at home. But a couple of more comments that have come in response to Eddie's video. Tim in Arkansas writes that Eddie the Bombardier Miller speaks the truth always, either from the Oath Keepers movement or the sorry states. Like this, we are being disemboweled from the bottom to the top. We need to fight back. And fighting back is just exactly what Eddie did. And you have to imagine that these folks were illegal immigrants, in addition to being third world immigrants, because they vacated within 24 hours. I mean, not a trace. If you were a property owner or a renter, once the city started investigating what's exactly going on at your residents, you wouldn't just leave without a trace and never come back within 24 hours. And they had taken all of these cars and they were just gone. The house was abandoned within 24 hours. They just moved on to the next squatting grounds. And of course, as one of our writers has pointed out, and I made mention of this at least twice in the first hour, although it is bad in itself, illegal immigration is a distraction from looking at the damage that legal immigration is also causing. The respectable opponents of illegal immigration have no problem with tens of millions of third worlders being here and tens of millions more coming. The only qualm they have, he's talking about Republicans here, is having their paperwork in order. And of course, whether they are legal or illegal, when you are dealing with third worlders who come here not to assimilate but to take advantage of whatever handouts they can get from the predominantly white taxpayers, and I say most taxpayers in this country are white because still to this day most Americans are white. It is still a majority white country. It's falling fast and fading fast, but most taxpayers are white because most people in this country are white still, at least that we can count, right? Census just came in a few days ago here in Tennessee, so we'll see. But nevertheless, they're not coming here to be Americans. They're not coming here to embrace our language, our culture, our traditions, our heroes, so on and so forth, as we always mention. And so, yes, it's not a matter of whether they are legal or illegal. It's that they are third world and that they have this disposition. But you see what Eddie has done here. Petitioning the city of Memphis is not an easy thing to do. Memphis is very big, and it is non-responsive, and you wouldn't find this with every public worker in smaller towns. But in Memphis, it is impossible to get things done, especially in cases like this. But Eddie found a way to get it done, and it just goes to show that it can be done. And so these people are gone now, and they wouldn't have been gone if Eddie hadn't taken action and persistently petitioned the city to find out what's going on here, to at least make them clean up the yard, which they never did. The city had to come and do it. And it still looks horrible even after a week's worth of work by city workers, but at least they're not on the street anymore. And I think that just goes to show that, as we always say, we don't play characters on the radio. Who we are on the radio airwaves or how we come across is certainly how we are in real life as well. And so Eddie the Bombardier Miller is to be commended tonight for defending his street, and by doing it legally. Eddie?
Absolutely. When James says legally, it was legal. But listen, I'm going to tell you what. You have to go, you have to push the envelope, people, because like we told you, this battle been going on for, this particular battle here has been going on for over a year. The running battle with the Mexicans in general, who, they're most, in my cove, they're like 95% gone now. You don't even hardly see them. And like James said, what is amazing, what's absolutely amazing, when I went down to the city hall to see the mayor and raised, holy hell. I mean, I have lost my temper. I was screaming, but I didn't break a law. But I told them there was going to be something done. Because we, you know, or somebody's going, heads are going to roll at the next election. Well, evidently, it finally got them fired up, because when the very next day, I'm not kidding you, it wouldn't even 24 hours, I don't think, they were gone. It's amazing. It's like somebody came in there with a gigantic tractor trailer rig and moved all these cars out, many of them not even, you know, working, not drivable, and all these Mexicans, they're just gone. And what's even a bigger mystery to me, there was a Mexican family moving next to me, they were living there, they were pretty respectable, but they were shady, because something was going on, because they would come in, you speak to them, they couldn't get in the house fast enough. This was a huge mystery. It's a beautiful white couple living next door to me where they were. There's a beautiful girl. I mean, as beautiful girl as you'll ever see. Her husband's young. They're in their early 20s. They have a beautiful two-year-old. But I'd like to address something that was said a minute ago with James. And somebody said that the Republicans, they're talking about, they don't care how many millions come. They just want their paperwork. People don't fall for that. The Republicans say that. Some of them, a few of them might be sincere. But listen, most of them are hypocrites. Most of them don't want to come out and say, we don't want these countless millions of colors in our country overrunning our white European culture. They don't want to say that. That's why they say, oh, we want their paperwork done. That's a crock. They don't want them in here anymore. They don't want them in their neighborhoods any more than we do. And the point of the whole story, I guess, is this country is going downhill fast. And I mentioned a minute ago, me and James can go. There's many places in Memphis we can go that are worse than this, including and worse than where I am live now, much worse. Matter of fact, the street over, any direction you want to go, is in pretty good shape. The only place in my neighborhood there that's going down fast is anytime you have these Mexicans moving in, 10, 20, how many of them there is moving in, and they just their filth is in the street. They won't even throw. I've heard the black garbage man get them. You know, when a black garbage man has to lecture you on your hygiene, you know, that's pretty bad, folks. Well, I've heard the blacks, and my wife's heard them too, saying you need to put your garbage in the garbage can. Don't throw your garbage in the streets. Don't throw it in your neighbor's yard. Put them in bags. Put them in plastic bag. Do something. Don't put your filthy garbage in the street. We're not going to pick it up, and the city will not, just like they're not going to pick those tires up. The property owners are going to have to haul those tires out because they're going to have to pay a fee, and rightfully so. But, like I said, we know the problem. Our country's going downhill fast. Why is it? Why is it going downhill fast? Here's why. It's because our government, our central government in Washington, the president, the Congress, etc. Speaking, let me, while I'm talking about the Congress, if anybody can figure out what they're good for, I wish you'd send an email in and let us know, because I can't figure out what they're there for except to draw a huge salary and get lifetime retirement and lifetime Secret Service protection and lifetime everything you can think of. They do absolutely nothing. They're supposed to be one of the planks of government. There's four planks of government. There's the executive branch, the presidency. There's the court. That's another plank of government. Then we have the Congress and you know, this House of Representatives and the Senate. And then we have the fourth, which is the most important. Really, the only one that makes a difference is we, the people. We're the fourth plank of government. And the buck stops with us. All right. Now, the reason we're seeing this mass immigration is because we no longer have a government that's representative of us. We haven't had one for many, many years, not since I've been born. And I'm 67 years old. The people that are running our government are the globalists. And when I say globalists, that'd be the same thing as the globalist movement is a satanic movement. It's a movement of controlled by Satan against the Christian world. The New World Order coming under Satan versus the Old World Order under Christians. That'd be us white European Christians. And listen, and don't wince, because let me tell you what. White Europeans are the ones that brought Christianity to the rest of the world. Yes, can a black go to heaven? They most certainly can. Can a Hispanic go? Yes, they can. Chinese, you name it, they can go. But they have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Who evangelized to the world? I'm not going to get off on this rabbit trail too far, but I'm going to let you know, if you're a European, you need to take pride in being European. A godly pride. You need to realize that it was your race, it was your ancestors that brought Christianity to the heathen, to the savages in Africa, to the savages in the Belgian, what used to be the Belgian Congo, in South America, everywhere in China, Japan, everywhere there's Christianity. That Christianity, the Christian religion, was brought there by a white evangelicals, a white missionary, put it that way. But yeah, you need to take pride there. But listen, that the New World Order, they want to inundate this country here. The United States of America is probably the last stumbling block to prevent the New World Order from putting in their dream of the New World Order of no nation states. They want to totally get rid. And listen, this I'm not going down a rabbit trail here. I'm telling you why we're having massive immigration. They want to get rid of all national boundaries. They want to merge the United States, Canada, and Mexico into one gigantic trading bloc. They just like they've done pretty much the European Union, although they haven't succeeded totally. They really haven't succeeded that great in the European Union, but they're they've come a long ways. That's why they hate Putin right now, because in my opinion, what I've read, I think Putin has kind of turned his back, has kind of stabbed the New World Order in the back, kicked the Jew bankers out of there. All right. Why do they want the immigration here? Because white Europeans in this country are Christians, and we value our Christian heritage, the Bible, common law, everything that goes along, you know, with everything that makes up Christianity. Look, people, we'll get back to this as soon as we go into a break right now. And listen, I'm going to try my best to wind this up, and I don't think it'll take long as soon as we come back from this break. Can't wait to get back.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Today is an important day. It's your day to be ready, take care of your family, and buy your emergency food supply from the Freeze Dry Guy. Because today, the Freeze Dry Guy introduces our Mountain House and Packaway 1-month food supply. Today, get the Freeze Dry Guy's 30-day premium unit, normally $364, sale priced at $263, save $101. Buy two cases, normally $727, sale priced at $506, save $222. Or choose three 30-day premium units, normally $1,091, now only $748, save $343. From the Freeze Dry Guy. These premium units are packed with the highest quality Mountain House entrees, meats, vegetables, and Packaway brand freeze dried pineapple and dehydrates, such as milk, ABC stew, and rolled oats, 289 half cup servings. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48. Hurry, our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month supply sale ends soon. So call now, 866-404-3663.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. You know, I'm really proud of what Eddie's done. It shows what one man can do, and what one man can do, another can do. And it certainly goes without saying, because I'm sure our detractors will listen to this segment and take it out of context. But, you know, certainly you can have a love for all people, and you can treat everyone with respect, and you can be kind to all people. And as individuals, I think that we should, especially as Christians. But that's not to say that you're going to allow yourself to be a pushover. I want everyone to live well and prosper. I want all races to have happiness, Jews, blacks, Mexicans, third worlders, let them all pursue that which they want in their lives. But we all have to have living space. I think people that come from different cultures, you are inevitably going to have friction when you put them into the same living space because they have different standards of life. They have different values. Everything that defines a person, as we talk about so often, their ancestors, their heroes, their faiths. You put people side by side that don't agree on these fundamental elements of what makes us a society, and you are going to have conflict. It's just, that's just the way it's going to be. Not to mention the fact that, you know, are there some Hispanic people or Latino people that come here or that have been here and they have a mortgage and they pay their taxes and they keep their yard up and they go along to get along? I mean, certainly. But unfortunately, stereotypes exist because there is truth to stereotypes. Am I kind to every – look, I live in a majority non-white city, and so I deal with – well, I guess I'm a minority in Memphis, but I deal with what people believe to be minorities in this country on a daily basis. I'm kind to them everywhere I meet them. I treat them with respect just the way I would want to be treated. I treat them no better or no worse than anyone else. And you can do that, and you should do that without relinquishing – our point of view on issues, one iota. I don't think it's inconsistent at all. You don't have to go out and be mean-spirited in order to show that you are holding the lines on some of the things that we talk about. Far from it. Nor do you have to go out and completely work against the unique group interest of our people in order to feel morally superior. And I think that's what we have here. And it's going on with the churches. Eddie, I know you were talking about with the churches, and you were talking about churches right before the last break. Churches are going down and taking these kids off the border because it makes them feel morally superior to do that. Yes, we love everybody, but it's not healthy. Different people, different cultures have different points of view, and it is not healthy at all to have them in the same area, a same confined space. That is a recipe for disaster. I appreciate and respect some elements of diversity, but I want to be able to respect it from afar. I would never presume to go down to Mexico or go into Africa and make them be like us. I don't want to do that, and I don't want it to be done to me either. And I'm looking at this stuff, Eddie, that we see about churches again, and a comment on this Presbyterians, we were talking about this last hour, recognizing homosexual marriage. Somebody has written here that I hope other churches jump on board because Jesus loves us all equally. Churches are losing money for choosing not to be equal, whatever that means. And so you got brain dead people like this and ignorant people like this, and you know, they have to be, look, we're doing what we can to deal with them here on the radio and to provide truth for those who are willing to embrace it like a moth to a flame. Hopefully will draw us. I think that guy might be terminal and too far gone, but you know, there are a lot of people out there that are waiting to hear common sense and reason, and we try to provide it here as best we can.
I'll respond to that writer right quick. Like, yes, you know, Jesus does love everybody. Yes, he does. But listen, the way Jesus saved the people, first of all, he had to live a spotless, 100% sinless life. Jesus never committed a sin. Never. He came to earth to save men, obeying his Father, God the Father. He came here, lived a spotless life. He obeyed his Father. He died on the cross and saved us through his death. Yes. So you must obey. It's just stupid to think you can go out and just do anything you want to do and still be saved. Well, God's going to send me to heaven because he loves everybody. Yes, he does. But no, God won't send you to hell. You'll send your own sorry self to hell if you just keep sinning and living, you know, a lascivious lifestyle. I mean, that's just ignorance and stupidity. And you're only kidding yourself if you do that. And I hope you will get some sense and get yourself saved. Now, going back where I was, why I'm going to wrap, got to wrap this up because I've got a long ways to go, a short time to get there. In other words, the New World Order, which controls the United States government and the rest of the white world, they want to break down white European civilization because we're the only stumbling block. We're the only people that know what the heck's going on. We're the only people that really have any sense on what's going on with this New World Order. And once they get us rid of us, by diluting our vote with just millions and millions and millions of colored people that have no concept of a Republican-type, representative Republican-type government, they have no concept. They come up here from Mexico and you know, Uruguay and Latin America or whatever, and they're used to living like this. You know, they're used to living in filth and crime. That's all they know. And they don't fit in with the United States people, with the Americans. They want to bring their own culture up here. That's why you see all these people, when they have most predominantly Mexican neighborhoods, they'll say, this isn't America. This is Mexico. This is Mexico. That's why they want to do that. And listen, and there is danger in having these people here. I'll tell you, have you ever heard of the Mau Mau Uprising, for instance? That comes to mind. The Mau Mau Uprising, I believe in Kenya, where the blacks rose up in mass and just slaughtered men, women, and children all over the country. Kenya and the former Rhodesia now, I think it's Zimbabwe now, Rhodesia was the breadbasket, used to feed the entire continent of Africa. Now it's a basket case itself. The same thing happened in Haiti in the Dominican Republic, if I'm not mistaken. It was settled by the French white people, and the blacks down there rose up and slaughtered every man, woman, and child there. Have you ever heard of the Muslim invasion of Europe? What they did to those Europeans, just mass murdering of Christian people in Europe. Thank God they were stopped. What used to be, I think, it's Constantinople, but now it's something else. I can't remember right off the bat, but. We have the gang rape of women going on in Sweden right now by the vast mass migration of Muslims there. We have mass gang rape here in the United States. I think there was something like 100,000 white women raped every year here in the United States by blacks. That's what you're looking for. That's what you got to look forward to, this endless migration. And that's what the New World Order wants to do to us. All right, now let me tell you what to do. You might want to say, why is Eddie the Bombardier Miller still living in this neighborhood? I'll tell you why. Because there's millions of other white people like me that are saddled, that are totally crippled by this stinking IRS. They've had a lien on my house since 2003. They tax me to death. I could go back and work at any hospital in this United States of America, probably any place in the world. I took my board. I made nationals on my boards the first time I went out. I was a hell of a good nurse, just like with a hell of a good medic. I could go to work anywhere. But if I do, you know what happens? They take 75 cents to 78 cents on the dollar out of my check for back taxes that I don't owe them now. I can't live long enough to pay these taxes. There's millions of people like me out there. They have liens on our property. We're trapped in these neighborhoods, people. That's what's going on. Meanwhile, while they're taxing us, they're taxing James Edwards. James Edwards probably works 70, 80 hours a week, and they tax him to death. And, you know, they're taxing the white race to death. And they take this money, and they take it and give it to these ne'er-do-wells. Well, let me tell you what you got to do. We got to go, like James was talking about, this one judge that ruled against the entire state. What was it, Alabama, whatever? The people have to stand up. The fourth branch of government, you have to get under your representatives and fire them up. You have to use nullification under Article 10 of the Constitution. You have to use jury nullification to nullify all local rulings. The juries can nullify even a federal ruling. States can nullify all this federal crap. And we talked about this on a show not long ago. You have to get your sheriff on board. You have to form posses. You have to form the constitutional militia of the several states. We need to get Dr. Edwin Vera on to talk about that. He's written volumes about the constitutional militia of the several states. You have to start with your county alderman, your city council. We have to organize our own community not this new political organization, but like the community, the community levels, in your own little cove, your own little neighborhood, five or six neighbors. We have to get together. We have to do something, people, or we're going to finish losing this country. I mean, it's I don't see how it can go much longer, but that's what we have to do. And I'm telling you what, the most important thing we can do, I can't think of anything more important than abolishing the Federal Reserve. We have to take the money away from these criminals in Washington. That's how they're bringing all this massive immigration in here. It takes money to feed these suckers and to bring them in here. They're getting these money through taxing us to death and through bogus money printing through the Treasury, United States Treasury, controlled by the private Zionist bankers called the Federal Reserve. Now, I think James wanted to go. I'm going to go to James, let him chime in here.
We're running out of time, but what Eddie said is spot on. It's a constitutional remedy and prescription for returning rule of law to this once sovereign republic, reclaiming America's destiny. But for what Eddie just said, he would be labeled by this government as a domestic terrorist. Sure. To say that we should return to constitutional law, jury nullification, all of these things that are legal precedents for correcting errors, this is what they would say to me. And by the way, putting military on the border is something someone else said. Eddie, you got 10 seconds because the music's already playing. I'm James Edwards. I'll see you next week. Eddie, you got 10 seconds.
Do not, I repeat, do not join the Army of the Marines, because if you do join the Army of the Marines, you're instantly labeled as a you're put on a terrorist watch list when you come home. So don't be an idiot and join the United States military.
Good night, everybody. We love you.